Blog Talk Radio.
We have more interesting stuff this week.
Yeah, well, we've got our other. I don't know if we're going to finish this. This is our karma. This is our karmic. But we need to go through, and I know we ended up on the law of here and now, because last week we did the law of focus and the law of giving and hospitality. But let's go through the whole karma thing again, okay? What is karma? Karma is the Sanskrit word for action. It is the equivalent to Newton's law of every action must have a reaction. When we think, when we speak, and when we act, we initiate a force that will react accordingly. This returning force may be modified, changed, or suspended, but most people will not be able to eradicate it. This is a law of cause and effect, and it is not a punishment, but is wholly for the sake of education or our learning. A person may not escape the consequences of his action, but he will suffer only if he himself has made the conditions ripe for his suffering. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, whether the laws are man-made or universal. So it's time to stop being afraid. It's time to start to be empowered by the words of karma. And I'm going to really quick go over I'm going to read the laws and then we'll get right into it, okay? The first law is the great law. As you sow, so shall you reap. As above, so below. Law of cause and effect. Law of creation. We are one with the universe. We are creators. The law of humility. What you refuse to accept will continue for you. The law of growth, wherever you go, there you are. The law of responsibility, wherever there is something wrong in my life, there's something wrong in me. The law of connection, even if something we do seems inconsequential, it is very important that it gets done, as everything in the universe is connected. The law of focus, you cannot think two things at the same time. The law of giving and hospitality. If you believe something to be true, then sometime in your life you'll be called upon to demonstrate that particular truth. The law of the here and now, looking backward to examine what was, prevents us from being totally in the here and now. The law of change. History repeats itself until we learn our lessons. The law of patience and reward. All rewards require initial toil. And the law of significance and inspiration. You get back from something whatever you have put into it. So, we are on our third week of these great laws, these 12 great laws, the divine dozen, I'm going to call them. Because it really is divine, you know. Or maybe the diva divine dozen. Okay, getting silly now. But we did the law of focus last week. You cannot think two things at the same time. I don't know about you, but our conversation last week just carried forth through the whole week with me. I was trying to, like, catch myself thinking two things at the same time. You just can't do it, you know?
Well, that's the third thing that you're thinking. You're thinking, I wonder if I'm thinking two things at the same time.
I wonder if I'm thinking two things at the same time. Now, I was trying to catch myself. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do something, like you said, that's on autopilot, that's our subconscious, that we do subconsciously. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, right now I'm talking to you, and I'm using my hands. I'm not thinking about my hand gestures. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to be focused on thinking two things at the same time. It's just kind of interesting. And then the law of giving and hospitality. I guess the one we're on right now, though, is the law of the here and now. So do you want to go ahead? That was the one we finished with, right? Am I correct on that?
I believe so. I don't have my notes handy, but yes, I believe you're right.
Okay. And then I will go through and I will read the bullet points.
Okay.
The law of the here and now, looking backward to examine what was, prevents us from being totally in the here and now. Old thoughts, old patterns of behavior, old dreams prevent us from having new ones. Okay. What do you think of that? I've got some thoughts on that. What are your thoughts on what I just read? And if you need me to reiterate anything, just roll with that.
No, my question on that would be, aren't you supposed to examine the past so that you don't repeat it in the future?
Exactly what I was thinking. Great minds think alike, exactly. I mean, yes, I'm in the present, and I have to live this present moment because this is our gift. That's why they call it the present, yuck, yuck, yuck. No, but in order for us, I think, for that growth, if you're presented, not meaning present, but if you're presented, if something is in your face saying, okay, here's a choice now, and you could go think back to a time that you did that and what how it worked out for you. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you're not allowing these opportunities, these situations, to help you grow if you just live in the very moment. You know, it's an interesting one. I think we need to peel this one back.
Yeah, because, I mean, I understand the point of what they're saying is that you can't be so obsessed with what you did before that you're ignoring anything that's going on right now. So I guess, you know, it's a fine line between having all your focus on, oh my gosh, what did I do before, and not dealing with what's here now, you know, as opposed to a quick review or a quick reminder like, hey, remember the last time you were presented with this choice and you made a choice and you did not like the result, so make a different choice this time.
Make a more conscious and a higher and better choice. I mean, that's why we get these choices in the first place, to grow. And, I mean, Einstein even said the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting of a different result. We know that to be true, you know. And I think a lot of that, especially in relationships, you know, especially in abusive relationships, if people are involved in an abusive relationship, and then that, you know, the abuser comes back and says, oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. And it's like, isn't it empowering to look at the situations and what that person did, of course, with love and forgiveness in your heart, but be aware and say, well, okay, but, you know, here's your cues and here's your factors. And, you know, I think you lose something if just you're enamored with this person and you just want to live in the here and now. I think this particular law has a lot of duality to it, you know?
I agree. It's a pretty deep one if you really, you know, if you really analyze it.
Yeah, I mean, it there's a lot of duality to it. So, of course, that I guess... The this law is it's, wow. You know, you could look at this law, and if you look at it from the center perspective and look out forward and say, okay, I'm in the here and now. This is what I got to do. I have to be effective with this. You know, if you're dealing with a situation, that's great. But I really feel God, the universe, gives us opportunities to build upon our situations and even similar situations or other situations. I mean, I just think, you know, we associate with people that have situations that give us opportunity to learn from their situations. Like, oh, when I was, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like old people. Don't you notice the older you get, the more you like old people and listening to them and their wisdom? And, like, you hated it when you were, like, a teenager?
Yeah, we're wise enough to know that we don't know it all.
Exactly. And that's actually enlightenment. That's where enlightenment comes in. I'm going to jump off the track here, but we're going to get right back on. But I'm sure any of our listeners would absolutely benefit from this, too. Did you go to the Hay House? Did you go to that Hay House website?
I've been on it many times, yeah. What specifically did you want me to look?
Recently, on Facebook the other day. Because did you ever see the movie by Dr. Wayne Dyer called The Shift?
I have not.
You have to. I had it on my phone. It's 2 hours. It is. You get it. But it's a movie, and they did it like a movie situation where they had people in life situations, and it was just really profound. It moved me on so many levels, so many times. And I mean, as you know, Wayne Dyer, he says, be a servant, and, you know, just faith is, and living the highest and best place is not worrying about anything and having complete faith, and that goes back to our here and now, okay? There was a connection here. It did jump off the track, but the big, big point and is, you know what? The universe is, God has got this. God, if you stay in God, if you stay in Theo, enthusiastic comes from the word in God. If you stay in God and in the right heart and the right mindset, everything's going to be okay. And it really, really moved me because, You know, right now my life has got a certain amount of chaos to it. There's a lot of different things that are up in the air between being on the radio on Saturdays and, you know, dealing with my father and all this other stuff. And it's just like, you know, you could spend your night toiling about it, or you could just go, you know what, God, you got this. I'm in the here and now. I know that you love me. I feel your embrace of love. Everything I'm doing has a good intention. I don't want to hurt anybody or, you know, I don't want to take advantage of anybody. I don't want to be taken advantage of either. So it's just all interesting. It was just really good. And I guess that's the good side of the here and now of being in faith and just going, you know, I'm in the here and now, and this is what I got to do. And I believe that, you know, by faith, God is going to help me make those right and positive and highest and best choices. So I guess that fits with the here and now, but you do have to watch the Shift. It was really, really, it was a really good movie. I think it'll move you.
It's on regular download, like on the internet?
You just watch it right on the internet. And if you go to the Hay House thing, you'll find it, and it's right, you know, you'll see Wayne Dyer. There's three movies there that they have. And that Shift is the Shift is one of them, and it was really pretty. It was really very good. It wasn't pretty good. It was very good.
Well, it's format, because I have a hard time with the preachy lectury format. I tend to get very sleepy after about a half an hour.
See, I like the preachy lectury format because I could take copious notes. So this particular format you might really love because it's a story. It's 121 minutes.
Australian author, songwriter,
and speaker, yeah. Brony Ware has spent several years listening to, then writing about the regrets of dying people. Through these experiences, she has come to understand the importance of acknowledging death while still finding the courage to live a happy and authentic life in the meantime. Here, Bonnie shares what she's learned during her time caring for those at the end of their lives. She also shares the lessons. She provides practical. This is absolutely not what the movie was about. It was not, but that's interesting. It was just a story. It was a really cool story. So
it was about people, their life, or things that she was discussing with people towards the end of their life?
Maybe these were people that she actually met. You know, maybe
uh-huh.
these were people she actually met. So very, very cool. Very interesting. And then I listened to Barbara DeAngelis, too. But this is only good until the 28th of May.
Okay.
Or you could buy the CD library for $347.
Yeah.
Or you could buy all
these
things.
Other priorities for my dollars right now.
But I just, you know, I like going ahead and going online and getting all these things. So, and
well,
you could do that right now at Hay House. They actually have this stuff until the end. So, interesting.
Yep.
But anyway, back to the law of the here and now. I guess that actually fits, though. As dying people, they can't let, you know, if someone was dying, you don't want to leave this earth with your symphony still inside of you, you know?
True.
And I think there's a certain amount of self-forgiveness, too, of your old thoughts, your old old patterns of behavior. I think you could build on your own old dreams. You know, I mean, I wouldn't, you know. I don't know. This one's a very interesting one. Do you have anything that you want to say on this, more of the here and now?
No, I understand the point that they're trying to make. And I think the things that we brought up were pretty valid, that, you know, we're still reviewing and assessing things that we've tried before so that going forward we can, you know, be more informed about the choices or the direction that we really want to take. Which then kind of goes into play of that one phrase that I love, which is, never do you know what you really want in life than when you're experiencing exactly what you don't want.
Hmm.
I love that one. That's my favorite.
Let's talk about that. What does that mean to you?
It means when you're really going through nonsense with somebody or with your own mind tormenting you about what's going on in the here and now, sometimes it can help. Those things, when you're saying, boy, I really, really don't like what's going on right now, sets you, your mind, to be able to ask for what you really do want. Because you're never more clear about what you really want than when you're experiencing what you don't want. At that moment, you are really clear about what you really want.
Okay. Well, what you are clear about is the situation that you don't want is clearly unacceptable to you. And right. But I don't know, understand, I mean, unless you're going to complete, unless you're playing opposite, where you're saying, okay, this is what I don't want, I want the complete opposite of that, or how does that give you more clarity on what you do want? Give me an
yeah,
example.
I mean, sometimes that's 100%. It's not 100% opposite, but if like you're with someone abusive and non-loving, you know, when you're going through that, you can make the request of, you know, the next time I'm in the same kind of interpersonal relationship, I want someone who's capable of being more loving and more kind. And
okay, I gotcha. I learned that lesson. I had to learn that lesson twice. I had two very controlling boyfriends, both by the name of John. And
yeah, I don't have a very
their name, but I'm sure there was a God wink there going, yeah, okay. And
yeah,
you know what?
It is. Yeah, because every John I've ever gotten involved in. Yeah, every John I've ever gotten involved. Oh, my gosh.
Are they all control freaks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Think about that. Yeah, hold on.
No, it's so true. It's absolutely, absolutely true. And I know this to be true. That doesn't mean that I won't, you know, anyone who says my name's John, I go running the other way. I still observe the situation, but I'm also cognizant that this is a pattern. And even up until the last two Johns, whether they call themselves that for short or that's their given born name, they have both proven over time. And you know what I've noticed is the time for them to prove that theory is shorter and shorter. And I really go open-minded. I really don't try to project my past experiences upon a new person. But and it surfaces in different ways, but it sure does show up again. And how can you disagree with something that keeps showing up?
Right.
You know, you've got to make the connection eventually of, wait a minute, every time I do A, B, C, or I get involved with someone named John, personally, business, I don't care what it is, you relearn that lesson again, that trait, and I don't know. And I give it the option to prove me wrong. Even when I'm, like, meeting that person, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to project that they're going to do the same thing or have the same behaviors. Invite them to prove me wrong. Maybe this John is going to be different than any of the other Johns I've ever met or that anyone else I know who's ever met Johns has ever met. Because it's not just me. I've talked to you. You have the same karmic effect with that particular name people. And I've talked to many other people because I used to like almost do a survey and just to see, you know, just to see if everybody's having the same experiences.
Right. Any of our listeners are named John, we're sorry. Please give us an opportunity to prove this hypothesis incorrect. But
be wrong. Please.
Now, and you know what? That actually changed. See if you could change that verbiage. And there is something here called the law of change, and that's number 10. And it's kind of funny because it almost kind of goes with this John thing for us. It says, history repeats itself until we learn the lessons we need to change our path. So maybe for us it's like, don't hang out with people by the name of John.
Well, I'm almost at that point. I'm more scared than I was the last time. And the last time I really went in very open-minded. But I was still proving the same exact theory. So now,
that's really interesting. But I like this. I like this principle. This principle
is kind of cool.
The law of change. Because everything changes. Our body changes. Our body is constantly changing. I guess our universe has a profound change in it, too, all the time. You know, I mean, they talk about climate change. Well, yeah, the climate was changing, you know, back in the Ice Age, and I didn't see any vehicles driving. I don't think there is such a thing as anthropomorphic climate change. I just think any organism is growing and living and moving. But, I mean, our body, I wish I could remember from herbal days, but doesn't our body just, like, regroup itself every 21 days or something? Now, a woman has a menstrual cycle every 28, which is changing the inside of her body to create new life. But what is that? Is it 90 days, Nancy, the change of the body, do you recall?
No, I thought it was 21. It's something to do with like your nails grow, you know, shed all the skin cells, and same with your hair, and something like your body replaces all of your skin within, I don't know if it's 21 days. That would be, well, I guess it could be. It
could be.
These things happen. It could, because it happens so subtly and figure, you know, unless you're in a microscopic world or your eyes can see microscopic level, every time you take a bath or a shower and you exfoliate and scrub your face, I mean, how much skin comes off? Probably a lot if you really measured it.
Right. Well, it does take 21 days to change yourself. You could do a habit in 3 weeks, which is 21 days. If you do something, if you commit to 21 days of eating low carb or exercising or not smoking, after 21 days, that becomes a habit. And that's also a dual-edged sword, because if you start smoking and you're smoking for 21 days or drinking for 21 days or stop exercising, you stop exercising for 21 days, that also becomes a habit. So it's that's an interesting concept, too, the law of change. Change is always happening. And, you know, I guess here this law of change does kind of conflict almost with the law of here and now, because it says history repeats itself until we learn the lessons that we need to change our path. But you don't, if you're living in the here and now and not thinking about the lessons that you learned, how do you make better choices, you know? So
right.
I think 10 and 9 are kind of interesting. They're kind of polar. The way they're displayed here, the polar opposite, you know?
Yeah, because that's where your karma is coming from, is your past choices anyway. It's not the choices, well, and the choices you're making in the here and now, and they could come back to you that fast, but, you know, it's certainly not something that you're going to do in the future.
What are some of the good karma choices you made this week? We have about 2 minutes left of this show, guess, believe it or not. 2 minutes, that's all we have. Any good karmic choices you made this week?
Gosh, I don't know, to just be more of an observer and not feel a necessity to participate all the time.
I took a very bold and empowered stance and not let someone that was coming from a place of ego ramrod over me. And I kind
yep.
of projected back to them and gave them situations to think about. And I kind of gave them the, what do you call it? Okay, we're going to curse here on Blog Talk Radio. The FU. You showed them that I had the FU position.
Yeah.
did we ever have a bet? You know, we're going to have to finish this up next week, the law of patience and reward and the law of significance and inspiration, because we only have a minute and 40 seconds. So you want there? What is that position called? It's coming from a position of empowerment and strength, and it's not control, but it is being in control of yourself and not allowing people to step on you. And you
yep.
know that you could walk away from. And being able to walk away from something is also very faith-filled. You know what? I'm going to walk away from this because I know God's going to take care of me. I know I'm making the right choice here. What do you call that besides the FU position?
Well, I really particularly like that, and I was in that position today, so that's another story for later. But I just say it's a position of empowerment and enlightenment where you
right. There's a difference between
affected
the position
by
of power.
The other person. Right, you aren't
right.
affected by other person's choice.
Exactly. I love it. So, this week, live in the here and now, embrace it, learn from your mistakes, be the change. The law of change is to be the change. Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And the only thing we are going to do over and over again is come back here next Monday at 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Eastern, to awaken to empowerment, because it's time. And Nance, thanks for joining, being on the air with me today. Thank you to all our listeners, and please come back. We'll catch you next week. Thank you very much. Make it a empowering week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Nance.